Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to a Scary Cast Extra. We've got a really interesting story from a good guy that I kind of met in my travels of putting together some Comic-Cons. In fact, putting together the Havelock Comic-Con. He is the manager of GameStop up there, and his name is Ike Mesa. Ike, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I enjoyed being up there. It was great to drop by your store. It was busy. You were helping lots of people and doing a great job. So everybody, here's a plug. Go to the GameStop in Havelock. Ike will absolutely take great care of you. Anyway, Ike, we started talking about the paranormal because it's hard for me to say 10 words without saying paranormal. And you all of a sudden piped up about an interesting topic. And that topic is ghost transmissions. I'm going to ask you, where did you first hear about this, and how did you first hear about it? And let's talk a little bit about that, if it's okay.
Okay. So I first learned about ghost transmissions and heard about them when I was in the schoolhouse for the Marine Corps. This was back in 29 Palms, California. While I was there, I was getting my certifications for my MOS, for my military of operations specialties. And I ended up being radio, and my instructor was telling us about ghost transmissions, which is transmissions that we can intercept that were basically stuck in the ionosphere. You usually get those transmissions late at night or early in the morning.
Okay, now why do you suppose that's the case, that we get them late at night and early in the morning?
So late at night and early in the morning, that's because the sun's rays, it's not obstructing the ionosphere. During the daytime, you actually have the ionosphere split up into different sections. At nighttime, those two sections actually fuse back into lesser sections. So at nighttime and early in the morning, that's when they're condensed. And as the day goes on, as it gets hotter and it gets more towards the afternoon, those layers start to split up. And that's why there's better radio signals that work better at night than during the day.
Right. I know that back when we had AM and FM radio before Sirius XM, we would be able to listen. I'm from the mountains of North Carolina. We could listen sometimes to WAPE in Jacksonville, Florida, or WLS in Chicago, because of the way the atmosphere was working and the fact that, you know, we could get those signals way down south where I was. So, yeah, I know a little bit about what you're talking about. Now, so tell us a little bit more about the ghost transmissions themselves, and tell us a little bit about some of the ones that you have heard.
Okay, so for the ghost transmissions, ones that I've personally heard about that have just been traveling around the Marine Corps, it's ghost transmissions that can date as far back as the World Wars. And they could be anything from calling in airstrikes, calling in for help, and just amongst other things. The transmissions themselves, they don't last very long. They're very obscured, very broken up because of the extra noise and just because it's just been bouncing around a lot. Those transmissions, they just get stuck in the ionosphere from what I was told by my instructors. And sometimes you just pick them up in the middle of the night, and sometimes it can freak you out pretty bad.
Well, I imagine you can. When I did a little bit of searching on YouTube for ghost transmissions, I found a number of transmissions from obscure radio stations, some in Russia, some in other places, and they were kind of interesting. One was in China. But so you also told me, I believe, that you guys heard some ghost transmissions in Japanese, correct?
Yes. There are some other transmissions that we can also pick up that are also from enemy lines during those times. So during the World Wars, you would pick them up that are, they could be in German, Japanese, amongst other languages.
Wow. That's really interesting. Now, is it true that, and I read a lot of things. Some of them I didn't believe, some of them I did. But one thing that kept being repeated in the stuff that I read online was that once you pick up, say, a fragment of a ghost transmission, say 8 seconds or something, then it is no longer bouncing around in the ionosphere. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. But there is so how some of the transmissions work, because let's say the transmission, let's say it escapes from our ionosphere. Let's say that goes down to outer space, because there are some transmissions. It's extremely hard to do, but it is possible. You can bounce transmissions off the moon.
Right. I saw that. I think we did that in 1960 or in the early 60s.
Yep.
NASA, you know, back then bounced transmissions off the moon, and it didn't take very long for them to get there and come back, maybe 2 or 3 seconds. Does that sound about right?
Yes. So for those transmissions, you can have transmissions that can go in outer space, and they'll continue to keep traveling, and they'll travel on forever until something either intercepts it or it just keeps going and it doesn't bounce back. So there could be transmissions out there in outer space. They could just be going on forever. And let's say that they hit another moon, or they hit a planet, or they hit something and it bounces off that and it comes back to Earth. There could be a whole number of different things.
That's really interesting. So basically a transmission is like, how can I describe it? It's like a linear distance of waves, like, I don't know, maybe 900 feet long worth of waves. And if it hits something, it can bounce back. Otherwise, it's going to keep going as a package forever, correct?
Okay. You have a certain distance that it can go to. As it travels a further distance, you do have a little bit of resistance. So like, let's say that we're communicating cross state, and you can have a whole bunch of static. That's noise that's being picked up, and the noise is the signal being lost along the way. So you do have, that's how you get static from radio stations and from transmissions that you're receiving, and that's what that noise is. It's you're losing some of that connection.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. I didn't, you know, I know a little bit about radio, but I didn't know quite as much as apparently you did. Now, what was your job in the Marines with all your training in radio?
I was a field radio operator. I was actually, I had two different schools, or not really schools. I had my main MOS school that I went to in 29 Palms to learn the basics of radio. And then when I got stationed here at Chauvet Point, I ended up being assigned to a class where I got to be HF certified, and a Harris representative came out and was teaching us more about HF and radios.
Okay, that's great. So you're very knowledgeable about that. That's interesting. Now, if you could briefly tell us just a little bit, and I just thought about this, about the ionosphere and kind of the structure, you know, because the atmosphere is in layers, correct?
Yes.
And so what are some of the layers, starting from ground level and going up?
Okay. It's been a while for me. I'm going to be very honest with you. The actual ionosphere, the different layers, that one I don't readily remember off the top of my head. I do know that you have different ways of sending transmissions across land, and then you also have another way you can transfer it where it's from sea to land, land to sea, and sea to sea, and then from ground to air. And there's
okay.
different methods of you have to use in order for that to work properly. Because you can be on a ship and you can try to send a signal, but if you're using the wrong method or the wrong procedure for it, let's say you're on a ship and you're trying to communicate to another ship, but yet you're using a ground method of ground to ground and you're trying to communicate to another ship, you may not be able to reach that ship at all.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to ask you a question. This might be out of your out of the scope of what you know. But we heard that when the Titanic sank, there was another ship that was just a few miles away. How would you, had you been the radio operator for the Titanic, how would you have communicated with that other ship?
If I remember correctly, it should be the lower frequency band, because that one should be the one where it skips across the water. That's how you would communicate from one ship to another. You can skip, if you are properly trained and you know what you're doing, you can send a transmission. You can send it all the way across the Atlantic or the Pacific.
Okay. Now, do you think back then in the early teens of the last century, do you think they would have known or had that much of a grasp of the technology?
Probably not. Honestly, no. Because I mean, when would you say the telephone was actually first made?
Well, let's say the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s, and I know that it was in use in a few major cities in the early 1900s. That's the best I can remember. So I'll let you continue.
Okay, so let's say we're starting out with that. So you have where they actually – you had an operator. It didn't matter who it was that you were trying to call. You had to go through the operator first. You couldn't just pick it up, dial a number like when it was first invented. Same thing with radios. We were still experimenting with them. So we were only really able to get from one distance to another short distance. And then there was actually a child. If I remember his name correctly, what is his name? Marconi. His name was Marconi, and it was a toy that everyone just kind of brushed him off with. Marconi invented something that allowed him to communicate from one part to another, and then ended up doing it from a more vast distance and so on and so forth. And that's how we ended up having radios, cell phones, how we ended up having actual phones today, and it's thanks to Marconi. Being able to do that, yes, that was something incredible, but they ended up having to set up cell towers, repeaters, and they had to set up all those to actually do it across, like, overseas. That one probably would have been a lot harder because they were still researching it probably at the time. So you don't exactly have a repeater or a cell tower in the middle of the ocean that you can just set up and you can be able to bounce it across like that. So for the Titanic, I'm not entirely sure if there really was a ship or something that was a couple miles away. Maybe there could have been interference. There could have been a number of things.
There actually was. And for some reason, they saw no need to come over there and help. They said, well, everything must be okay. They didn't even know it was the Titanic. Yeah, that's a fact. And, I mean, there was a ship, and they watched it sink. And they didn't even think to start trying to help the people. So it's just amazing. But anyway, that's really cool. That you know all that, and I tell you what, as we have further conversations, I'm going to be doing some research on these ghost transmissions, and we're going to be talking about this on ScaryCast, and as I have questions, I'll continue to pick your brain because it's very interesting. Some people, I've talked to some folks who are fairly knowledgeable in science, and they say, oh, that's ridiculous. That's impossible. But you guys have seen it, correct?
A few years ago, I mean, it was impossible that you can see inside of a cell. It was impossible that you can see something as small as an atom. So you can call something as impossible as you want, but until proven wrong, you can't say that impossible is impossible to achieve, because look where we are today.
I like that, and I agree with you. So, I mean, you know, I'm a big believer in the possible, because as I said, and apparently I was accidentally quoting Nikola Tesla, and here's the actual quote. In 1920, he said, there's going to be a little tiny wafer-shaped thing, and we'll be able to talk in real time halfway around the world. And he was talking about none other than the cell phone. And even he envisioned it back then, but when he talked about it, it sounded just like witchcraft. And, in fact, they would have said it was witchcraft with you sitting there talking on a little small tiny box about like an index card, and you could be talking directly to China. So anyway, and plus they had no idea about satellites, because satellites are necessary for cell phones, and a lot of folks don't even know that. But you know, without satellites, we can't bounce signals from here to Los Angeles, can we?
Nope.
All right. Well, look, this has been. Do what?
Well, I mean, you probably could.
Oh, you probably could.
That's a story for another day, probably.
Okay, yeah, I know that there's certain signals that you can bounce off the atmosphere. And I remember I answered that question correctly on my certification, on my ham certification test, but I couldn't tell you what it is any more than a man in the moon. I need to get that book out and reread it. But anyway, thanks a lot for being our guest tonight. It's been a lot of fun, and you're going to be played tomorrow night on Scarycast on the regular show. And then we're going to talk about a couple of types of ghostly transmission, the ones that you're talking about that get stuck in the ionosphere. And then we're going to talk about, have you ever heard of a spirit box? It's a nifty thing. You ever heard of one? Okay, what it does is it goes through the entire AM band back and forth very quickly, and it produces white noise. Well, you can actually ask a question, and supposedly, and I believe it's true, ghosts can reply to you. And we had a lot of fun doing this. We did a ghost investigation up in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and we had some very intelligent answers coming back. And there was a crowd, and we all heard it. So, yes, there's lots of ghostly transmissions. We're going to be talking about those. So, anyway, thanks a lot. I'll catch you the next time I'm in Havelock, and look forward to seeing you at the Havelock Comic-Con on 2022, okay?
All right. Until then, I'm going to get out some of my radio stuff that I still have, and I'm going to look up some more of that stuff, just to give you more knowledge on it.
Well, that'd be great. Hey, thanks a lot. Okay, buddy, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.